Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we want to welcome you to the broadcast today. We appreciate you listening in. If you are not a regular listener, maybe you're just riding down the road and switching radio stations. I tend to do that quite a bit. We'd love to invite you to stay with us for about the next 30 minutes and listen in. Blessings of Liberty is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and we would love for you to come and visit with us if you are in the listening area, or if you are in the area and you do not have a church home. We have Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and then our Sunday morning worship service at 11. Every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, and we are currently studying, and I've been preaching through the book of Mark and really enjoying that, and so lots of opportunities to come and be with us, and we'd love for you to do that, and we'd do our best to make you feel at home. And I want to say hello to Noah. He's here with us in the studio today, and he does the engineer and the production work. And how's your day been so far, Noah?
It's going well. We're just staying busy.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just making that up. We usually meet in the hallway about 3 minutes before we come on the air. And so
when we do our introductions for today.
How
say
you
hello.
Doing?
And I am doing well, and we do want to say welcome to all our listeners today. Those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and it's good to hear from some of them from time to time. That's always a blessing. And I want to begin today by saying that 2 weeks ago, we started a new series on the subject of personal finances. And you may say, well, what in the world has that got to do with Blessings of Liberty? Well, actually, it has a great deal to do with liberty. And the Bible teaches very plainly in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." That word servant there, it actually means a slave. The borrower is a slave. And boy, you want to talk about losing your liberty. You just talk about getting into debt and being a slave to a house payment, a car payment, a credit card payment. Now, we could say a great deal about the financial situation of the nation and our trillions of dollar debt that we're in and how detrimental that is to us as a nation. But the best thing we could do, the most profitable thing we could do for us as individuals, is look at our own house and get our own house in order, financially speaking, and that will insulate us, hopefully, down the road against whatever comes up in the nation. And so we've been talking about personal finances, and as we've said, the Bible has a great deal to say about it. I taught on this during our week of vacation Bible school. I had an adult class, and the more I taught about it and studied about it, I thought, you know, that would just be great to share with our listeners on the radio. Now, last week, and we'll get into this a little bit later on in the broadcast, but we just sort of introduced what we're calling the four R's of money. And really, this has to do with stewardship. And I was sort of rushed at the end of the radio broadcast, but the four R's of money are this that we're going to look at. There is the receiving of money. We'll talk about that, how you get money. There's the rule of money, how you give money. There's the retention of money. That's how you keep and save money. And then there's the reuse of money. What do you do with it once you have it? How do you use it? And that's what we do with money. We just reuse it. You know, we get it. We put it somewhere for a certain, you know, we use money. And so the dollar bills and the $10 and the $20 bills and the $100 bills you get, they've been around for years and years, passed through hundreds of thousands of hands and fingers, and it just keeps on recirculating. So we talk about the reuse of money. Now, we're using the Bible a great deal in this study. As we said, the Bible has a great deal to say about money. And really, it would come under the heading of stewardship, taking care of what God has entrusted us with. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. So the Bible teaches that it is much better to get wisdom than gold. The Bible does not teach the other way around. It's much better to get gold than wisdom. It teaches that it is much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Now, if you have gold and silver, or money, as we might say, if you have money and you have no wisdom, you have no understanding about how to use it, about how to be wise with it, then you're not going to have your money very long. And there's many, many examples down through history of somebody that has gained a great inheritance and turned around and lost it all. Or a lot of times somebody that wins the lottery. There's been books written and studies done about people that have come into great amounts of money, and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to handle it, and they just lose it. So you can have a lot of money, but if you don't have wisdom and understanding, you're going to lose it. But the Bible says it's much better to get wisdom than gold. If you have wisdom, if you have understanding, then when you get some silver and gold, you'll manage it properly. You'll be able to hang on to it. You'll be able to put it to work, not just spend it up and blow it. And so that's why the Bible says it's much better to get wisdom than gold. Now, what I want to look at beginning today, as we get into this study, I just want to look at some Bible words that have to do with money. Bible words and definition. The first is the word surety. The word surety in the Bible is mentioned many different times. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." And surety is this. It is when it means a guarantee. And modern day surety would be making a guarantee on behalf of somebody else. The word means a legal liability assumed for another's debt. It means to sign a note for somebody. It means to sign on the dotted line for somebody. It means somebody cannot get a loan for a certain amount of money. And so the bank looks at them and they say, "This is a bad idea. We don't think you'll be able to pay it back, or we're not sure you'll be able to pay it back, but we'll loan you the money if you'll get a co-signer." And so that person that's trying to get a loan that probably can't afford it, or might be somebody that's never had a loan before, and so they have to get surety. They have to make sure that this is going to get paid back. And they'll go to a friend, they'll go to a parent, they'll go to a grandparent, and they'll say, "Will you come down to the bank and sign this note along with me?" And when you do that, you are becoming legally liable for the debt of another person. Now, what the Bible is teaching here in Proverbs chapter number 6. It's teaching if you've done that. Now, a lot of people don't realize that what a bad idea it is until after they've already signed a note for someone. But the Bible says, if you've already done that, if you have stricken your hand with a stranger, you're snared with the words of your mouth, you're taken with the words of your mouth, you've said you'd pay this, you've said you'd, you've shook hands on it. In our day and time, you'd have to sign something legally binding. The Bible says, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. If you are in a situation like that, you'd better make sure you're friends with the person that you signed for. And you'd better get out of that situation as soon as possible. Make sure that that is being paid back. And so the Bible talks about surety. Here's something else the Bible says about surety in Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 18. It says, a man void of understanding. Now, we were talking just a minute ago about getting understanding. And to get understanding, rather to be chosen than silver. So it says here, a man void of understanding, a man that does not have any understanding. You know, that's a nice way of saying somebody that doesn't know. That's a nice way of saying that. A man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. A man void of understanding. You don't have understanding about how this works. It's not a good idea to sign on the line for somebody else to become legally liable for the debt of another. I have a friend, and a preacher friend, and we were talking about finances, and he had taken a Dave Ramsey course on Money Makeover. It's called Financial Peace University, something like that. He had taken some courses, and so we was talking about money, and I said, oh, by the way, I said, I'm trying to get a loan. Would you sign for me? Would you sign along with me on that? And he looked at me, and he said, no. He said, I wouldn't sign for you. I wouldn't sign for my daddy. I wouldn't sign for my son. I said, well, good. You learned something in that course. Signing, becoming legally liable for the debt of another. Don't do it for your children. Don't do it for your grandchildren. You're going to ruin your relationship with them. The Bible says a man void of understanding does this. Here's another interesting verse about surety. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 15. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. And so there's two things in that verse. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. Now, if you are out in a field and you get ready to cross a fence, and you don't realize that there's an electric wire hooked up to that fence, and you get into it. That's what we say about getting shocked by an electric fence. You get into it, you know what? You're going to smart for that. That's going to sting. That's going to burn you. And that's what the Bible teaches about suretyship. If you do this, you're very likely to get burnt. You're going to smart for it. And then it says, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. And so the Bible teaches the principle over and over again. Don't do this. Don't do this. You're going to get burnt. You don't have understanding when you do this. And get out of it as soon as possible. So there is the subject of suretyship or surety. Now, we'll go on. We'll look at another Bible word. There's the Bible word usury. It is spelled U-S-U-R-Y. Usury. And these old Bible words are still being practiced today. Surety has been around for thousands of years. Usury has been around for thousands of years. Usury means this: charging excessive interest on money lent. That's what usury is. Now, the Bible does not teach that it is wrong to charge interest on money lent. If you lend money, it is not wrong to make interest on money. Usury is excessive interest. there are many scams and schemes and ways out here that you can get caught up in paying interest on something and you'll never pay it off. Credit cards are notorious for getting you deeper and deeper in debt, and the interest is so high, and the average, and I've heard all kinds of numbers about the average credit card debt in America being anywhere from $1,500, $3,500, $12,000. But if you get into the habit of using credit cards and you use them and you use them, well, you intend, here's how everybody starts out. I intend to pay that off at the first of next month. Well, you don't do that. Then you add something else and you say, I'll get it next month. I'll get it next month. Next thing you know, you're making that little box on the credit card statement. And I suppose they still come this way. They used to. I haven't had one or dealt with one like this in years, but minimum monthly payment. You are being robbed. That is usury. Credit cards have a very high interest rate. An interest-only loan is a scam. Rent to own is terrible. Terrible. Somebody say, well, I'm going to be in an apartment for 3 months. I'll just go down and I'll rent me a TV and a couch. That's terrible, terrible interest rates. These offers 6 months same as cash. Well, if you pay that off in 6 months, it might be same as cash, but you don't pay it off in 6 months and you're going to pay excessive interest on that. To pawn something, same thing. Title loans, there's all kinds of ways out there. Here's another example. If you get in trouble, get behind with the IRS, the IRS is the biggest crook in the whole nation. And you'll hear people talk about penalties and interest. Well, you owe this much money, but with penalties and interest, it doubles, it triples, it's excessive, it's usury. In the Bible, the Jews were forbidden to practice usury on their brethren. Exodus 22 and verse number 25, the Bible said, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. And there are many places in the Old Testament where God deals with the Jewish people and instructs them not to do this to each other. They're basically destroying their whole nation, making their nation a debtor nation. It's not good for the economy for people to be over their heads in debt that all they're doing is paying interest, and our whole nation is operating that way. Usury is a terrible, terrible thing. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 8, the Bible says, he that by usury and unjust gain. Now, in a King James Bible, there is a built-in dictionary. If you didn't know what usury was, you could just study the word out and you'll find the definition in the text. What is usury? Usury is unjust gain. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. In Proverbs chapter number 15, there's only 5 verses in that chapter. And it's talking about who is going to abide in thy tabernacle, talking to the Lord. Verse number 1 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And it goes on down through those verses, and it talks about he that walketh uprightly, the person that walks in righteousness, in truth, that backbiteth not, nor doeth evil. Well, all those are good, righteous things. That's who's going to be in the tabernacle of the Lord. But verse number 5 said, he that putteth not out his money to usury. Usury is legalized thievery, is what it is. And so God says, do not do that. It's bad on both ends, the one that does it and the one that is on the paying end as well. And so there's the word usury. And that's why we teach and preach that credit cards and just being in debt anyway is a bad position for you to be in financially. We'll talk more about that in weeks to come. But then we want to look at another Bible word, the word penury. Penury is an interesting word, and you don't hear that much about it, but you find this word in the Bible, penury, P-E-N-U-R-Y. And penury means extreme poverty, destitution. A lot of times people kid about being poor or being broke. I heard someone just this week talk about being a broke college student. People talk about being broke here and broke here, don't have any money, and all like that. But most people that kid about being broke are not actually broke and would not qualify. But penury means extreme poverty, to be destitute. In Luke chapter number 21, verses 1 through 4, Jesus and the disciples were sitting and they were watching as people passed by in the temple, and they were putting their offering in. They were putting into the treasury. And there were rich men that were coming in, and they were putting a lot of money into the treasury. And there was a widow woman. She came by, and she put two mites in. We might say she put two pennies in. Somebody'd say, what is even the use of that? That's nothing. That's nothing. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse number 4, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. The Lord Jesus said she gave more than all the men that gave of their abundance, because she of her penury, that was all that she had. She cast all her living. And you know, we say sometimes, I don't have 2 cents to rub together. I believe that comes from that woman that cast in the two mites. That's all that she had. And when she cast it in, she didn't even have that. So penury, extreme poverty, destitution. There are those that are like that. They are in extreme poverty. Now, we say all that, I'm going to just quickly lead into the first R of the 4 R's of money. There is the receiving of money. Now, in our adult vacation Bible school class, I asked the question to the class, and we had about 40 adults in there, and I asked them, how do you receive money? Well, everybody said you earn it. You know, you work for it, and that is true. But that is not the only way to receive money. I'll give you just a few quickly. You can receive money by way of a gift. Probably most everybody listening in today, the first money you ever received in your life was by a gift. People give money to children. They give money to children. When I was a little boy growing up, I'd go to church, and there were some older men in that church. And if you go up and talk to them, they'd reach in their pocket and they'd give you a quarter. I remember that. And I talked about that last time, that I live by the quarter in, quarter out philosophy. If somebody gave me a quarter, I took it and spent it. My grandpa Cornette, whenever you'd see him, and he had a lot of grandchildren, I guess he would have went broke giving out quarters. But he would give us a quarter. And so people give money to children. They give money for birthdays. They give money for Christmas. So gift, that's probably the first way most people get money. They receive it by gift. And then as you get a little bit older and you get a job, maybe you babysit, maybe you mow a yard, you begin to earn money. And then you might find some money. There was a story I read one time, and a man in town who was very wealthy was walking down the street, and he bent over and he picked up a penny. And somebody saw that, and they knew that he was a wealthy person, and they scoffed. They said, as much money as he has, why would he bend over and pick up a penny? And the other person said, well, maybe that's why he's got a lot of money. And so he found some money, and he stuck it in his pocket. You might inherit some money. You may receive money on interest or on a retirement fund. That's interest. That's money that's been working for you, and it's made other money, made more money. And so there's lots of ways to receive money. Of all the ways that we receive money, of course, the primary way would be that we work for money, that we earn money. I was studying about this, and I thought about there was a commercial on TV years ago. I actually went back and found it and watched it. It was in 1979. There was a commercial for Smith Barney, and it was very famous. And the older man on there, he was talking about Smith Barney and investments and all these things, and he said they make money the old-fashioned way. They earn it. And that I remember that as a child growing up. But how do you earn money? You labor for it. You work for it. But the Bible says this. We were talking about penury a moment ago. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. The Bible says, in all labor there is profit. Well, that's very easy to understand. You labor, you work, you get paid. That's profitable. In all labor there is profit. There's no such thing as unworthy work, unless it's illegal or cheating somebody. But in labor, the Bible says, in all labor there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The talk of the lips, on the other hand, tendeth only to penury or extreme poverty. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. To be under tribute is to pay another. It is a act of acknowledgement of submission to another. Many times one nation that had been conquered by another nation would have to pay tribute. And they would have to pay tribute to another nation. Well, the Bible says the slothful shall be under tribute. They have to pay a penalty. They're in debt. Debt makes you the servant of somebody else. That is what debt does for us. It makes you the servant of another. Now, we talked about how to receive money. There are ways to make sure you do not receive money. And it says there, the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The talk of the lips. There's a lot of talk of the lips when it comes to money. There is no such thing. You need to go ahead and write this down and decide in your mind. There is no such thing as get rich quick. There are all kinds of offers. There are all kinds of advertisements. You're not going to work 2 hours a week and make $1,000 posting things on the internet. There's just some things that are unrealistic, and it's just not going to happen. But there's all kinds of slick advertisement out there. Oh, if you'll just do this, you can make this much money. There's no end to schemes and scams and all kinds of things like that. If you try something like that, somebody might say, oh, I know somebody, they worked and they got three people and they got three more people and they got three more people, and man, they're making all kinds. If you get involved in something like that, you're going to have to work at it like a full-time job. You're probably going to have to work at it more than 40 hours a week. There is just no such thing as get rich quick. And the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury is poverty, is what it is talking about. So a lot of people have ideas and brainstorming and come up with these big things that they got in their mind they're going to do. It's just that. It makes no money. But in all labor there is profit. There's a way to receive it. There's a way you will not receive it. And so the Bible has a great deal to say about personal finances, about money. And so I'm enjoying study this. It's helping me in my personal life. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to some of you as you listen in. So Lord willing, next week we'll just pick up where we left off today. We're talking once again about the four R's of money. There's the receiving of money. There's the rule of money. That's how to give. And there's the retention of money. That's how to save. And then there's the reuse of money. What to do with it. Well, thank you once again for listening in Noah is going to come and give the contact information for the radio broadcast. You have a great day, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.